Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 18. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. The King James Version says not to faint. It does mean not to lose heart. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. By the way, ladies, this is talking about you also. Men ought always to pray, women ought always to pray and not lose heart. One of the reasons why people do lose heart is because they don't know how to have expectation from God in prayer. But it's very important that in our lives, we go from prayer to prayer to prayer. We never try to enter anything without prayer. Because in and of ourselves, we don't have the ability to do anything in John 15:5. And so we continue to pray and God continues to provide for us. God continues to be a source for us. God continues to give us wisdom. God continues to order our steps. And God continues to give us answers to prayer to meet our needs. Why? Because we always pray and we never lose heart. In Philippians 4:6, the Word of God says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Now, anxiety is a form of losing heart. It's a type of fear. Fear comes when I try to make a prediction of the future apart from the promises of God. Fear is never for something going on now. Fear is always toward the future. Sometimes people may not recognize that. They may say, well, what if a guy is holding a gun to my head? That'll make me afraid. No, it's not the fact that the guy is holding the gun to your head that's making you afraid. It's your prediction of what's going to happen next that is making you afraid. But once in a while, you hear about situations like this. A guy holds a gun to somebody's head. He tries to shoot them, and he can't. He's not able to shoot them. The gun won't work. I remember one case specifically. The guy tried to shoot somebody and his gun wouldn't work. He tried to shoot him again and it wouldn't work. He kept trying to shoot him and it wouldn't work. And then when they examined the gun, it was in perfect working order. What happened there? Very simple. God determines what's going to happen. God determines the outcomes of things. And if you're a believer, particularly a believer who prays, God is going to give you tremendous protection. So there's never a time for a believer to become anxious or fearful about anything. I remember a friend of mine, this was years ago, he was an excellent, excellent soul winner. He would go out on the streets and he would soul win and people would get saved left and right. He just had a gift in soul winning. He was in a very bad neighborhood in town. There was a gang fight going on. And within 5 minutes, he had everybody in the fight, holding hands, standing in a circle and praying to receive Christ. I mean, this guy was a phenomenal soul winner. He went into a drug house one time and there was this big burly guy in there and he gave him the gospel and the guy got angry and he pulled back his arm to punch my friend and then he couldn't move his arm. It froze. He literally had it elevated, fist made, drawn back, about to hit him, and he could not move his arm out of that position. And he said to my friend, I can't move my arm. And my friend said to him, you're not going to until you get saved. And you know, the guy ended up getting saved. My friend had no anxiety at all. Why? Because he knew how to pray and he knew who he was praying to. He knew that if he brought God into the picture, then God would take care of him personally. God would take care of his circumstances. God would take care of whatever responsibilities my friend had. God would take care of the whole thing. Sometimes we have this mindset that God only takes care of things that are religious or spiritual. That's nonsense. God is interested in our entire life. God is interested in everything that has anything at all to do with us. And He doesn't care if it's church, or He doesn't care if it's work or school or circumstances or people. God is interested in all of it. So in everything we pray, and we never lose heart, and we don't fret, and we do not have anxiety about anything. But then it continues in Philippians 4:6, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, which is definite requests, by prayer and definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. One of the mistakes that people make when they pray is they pray once and then they stop and say, well, I've prayed. But that's not really how prayer works. Sometimes one and done and God will answer and you're fine. Yes, sometimes that does happen. But sometimes God wants you to continue in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Sometimes God doesn't answer immediately, but He doesn't want you to stop praying. He wants you to continue to make your desires known to God. If you haven't received it yet, keep asking. Don't just quit. Don't get discouraged. Don't get anxious. Keep asking. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul said, watch, stand fast in the faith, and quit you like men, and be strong. Now, quit you like men. That's kind of a strange thing, because it makes you wonder, well, how does a man quit? Well, the answer is he doesn't. It's really saying be brave and don't quit. So put on your big boy pants, if we were going to put it in modern terms, is what Paul is saying. Put on your big boy pants, be a man, have some guts, keep going, don't wuss out, don't be a wimp, keep going, trust me, keep going. And don't quit. Now, the funny thing about quitting with God, the only way to lose is quit. When I was in Bible college, Pastor Stevens used to drill that into our heads. The only way to lose with God is quit. If you don't quit, you can't lose. Now, I'm not saying that there's never times when you stop a certain activity. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about responding to God. I'm talking about standing fast in the faith. I'm not talking so much about details. If I stand fast in the faith, God will give me wisdom for my details and I'll continue just so long as God says continue. But even if He says, okay, you can stop now, I'll still stand fast in the faith. I won't quit. In Matthew 21:21, Jesus said, if you have faith, and you do not doubt, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. Now, this is a little bit tricky. Because there are some people who will take that passage and they will misuse it. They will misinterpret it. When He says, if you doubt, He's not saying that you'll never have a question in your mind. In Matthew 7:7, He says, ask and it will be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be open unto you, for everyone who asks receives. And he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it will be opened. So it's not about, like some people want to say, well, you just didn't have enough faith to receive. No, if you have enough faith to ask, you have enough faith to receive. So what does it mean if you doubt? Well, if I don't believe that something's going to happen, then I won't address it. If I don't believe that God could or would do something for me, I won't ask Him. If I don't ask Him, I haven't prayed. So if I ask Him, and that is required, if I ask Him, He'll do it for me. Now, in order for that to take place, I have to recognize that when I pray, I'm praying to God, yes, but it's a prayer of faith. Now, a prayer of faith is not me working up, I believe, I know you well, I know, I believe it, I just believe it. That's not faith. That's trying to convince myself of something. Faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17. So if you have faith, you have it because you've heard the Word of God. So what is he really saying in this? The Word of God, a very important and significant portion of that is the promises of God. It's the definitions that God gives. It's the encouragement and the correction. It's all the mind of God. So what he's actually saying in faith is, if I pray, utilizing the Word of God as my frame of reference so I can pray with the mind of God, then I can say to this mountain, be removed, and it will, and I continue to pray. I don't doubt. In other words, I don't step away from the Word of God in my thinking so that I don't ask, but I think with the Word of God, and that also means that I think with the promises of God. The most effective prayer out there is prayer when I bring the promises of God to Him. Because every promise of God is yes, every promise of God is so be it. Every promise of God was given by God, and it cannot disappoint because God gave the promise. And so when I pray, I can pray and ask God for absolutely anything, but if I really want to have powerful prayer, I pray out of a mind that thinks with the Word of God, and I bring, as part of my prayer, the promises of God to Him. For example, let's say that I'm in need of something. Maybe I've come up short on money this month, or whatever it may be. Maybe I'm a kid and I'm in school and I have a test coming up and I didn't have as much time as I wanted to study. Whatever it may be. And so I pray and I say, God, you said, if I ask, it'll be given to me. And you said that you'll supply all my needs. You said that you provide everything that I require. You said you take care of me, whether it's materially and physically or spiritually. It's no difference to you, God. You said that you take care of me. Okay, I'm bringing to Him the promises. So God, this is my need. Or maybe it's something that's not necessarily a need, but a great desire that I have. Maybe I'm praying for somebody, a friend or a family member, to get saved. So I'll bring the promises of God to Him and say, God, you said that one soul is worth more than the whole world. You said that it's your will that no one perishes, that means passes into eternity, dies without being saved. That's not your will that anyone should die and not be saved. You said that when I pray for somebody that you'll answer my prayer. And so God, I'm asking you that you save this person on the basis of what you said, and I have an expectation because you gave a promise that you're going to be good to your promises. And by the way, He is. And so when I ask God, when I pray, I don't pray out of a wishful thought. I don't pray like, oh, I really hope God does that. That would be so cool if he did. No, I pray with the expectation of the mind of Christ, utilizing the promises of God, knowing what he said, knowing his heart, and knowing how my request relates to his heart. And even if it's something that is strictly for me, that's okay. I'm allowed to ask for that because God said, ask what you will and it will be given you. In John 15:7, if I abide in him and his word abides in me, then I can ask him what I will. I can ask him anything that I want. Whatever it is that my desire is, and it will be done for me. Now, there is a prerequisite. I have to abide in him. That means I keep myself in the love of God. His word abides in me. That means I'm praying with the mind of God. This is how you do it. I keep myself right with God by keeping myself in the love of God, and I think with the mind of God, and it doesn't matter what I ask, even if it's a personal desire that has nothing to do with anybody but me, God is still interested in blessing, even if it's just blessing you or me or one person. God is not going to say, well, if it's not 15 people at least, I'm not going to do it. No, God is very happy to bless even the one person. And if you're the one person that's doing the asking and your desire is something and you're thinking with the mind of God and you're keeping yourself right with him by staying in the love of God, then you can ask. And even if it's a desire that only blesses you, go ahead and ask it because God is interested in doing it for you and he promises that he will. God is just as interested in you as he is interested in 1,000 people. The number isn't what makes the difference to God. The love that he has for you is. And so we pray without ceasing. We don't put these barriers in our way. Sometimes people do put barriers in their way to prayer, and they say, well, you don't have enough faith, or you didn't ask right, or whatever number of things. It's all foolishness in the end because we have the Word of God to tell us how to pray. And the big thing that Jesus wants us to know is pray, don't lose heart, pray without ceasing, continue to pray. If you haven't gotten what you want yet, continue, keep going, ask. If you ask, you'll receive. Everyone who asks receives. Don't worry about it. Just keep yourself in the love of God. Keep the Word of God in your frame of reference, and then whatever you ask, it'll be given to you. Don't even worry about the possibility. Well, what if he doesn't? You will know what to ask if you have the mind of Christ. And the Word of God is what gives you that mind, and that's very available. In Luke 11:5, Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me, I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give it to him as many as he needs. That's talking about how humans are. But even with a human being, if you are persistent, they'll give it to you. But God is so much more interested in you than a human being can be. It's not like we have to twist God's arm, but we do in some cases have to continue asking. Now the reason for that is varied. I'm not going to get into all the different possibilities, but sometimes he simply wants us to continue in asking. sometimes it can happen that Satan is hindering our prayers. That happened to the prophet Daniel. He prayed, God heard, God answered, Satan resisted the answer. He hindered the answer, and God had to send Michael, the angel, to bring the answer to prayer to Daniel. But whatever it is, you don't stop. Now, sometimes God may tell you to stop, but unless He does, you don't stop. Remember years ago, that happened to me. I don't know the reason for that, but it happened to me that I was praying for this one person to get saved. I learned that they had cancer. And God literally, almost audibly, it was not audible, it was not out loud, but it was so clear, it was almost as it was out loud. And He said to me, stop praying for this person. Now, I don't know what the reason for that was, and I'm not going to speculate. And so I stopped praying for that person, but God didn't get mad at me for doing it. God understood I wanted this person to get saved. And I don't know, maybe they already were, and God was simply saying, don't waste your time. They're already saved. I don't know why. He didn't tell me why. But unless something like that happens, you keep praying. Until the answer comes, you keep praying. And you pray at all times. You pray no matter what it is. Prayer is your number one asset. Sometimes people say, well, if all else fails, pray. They got it totally backwards. Pray, because all else will fail. Start with prayer. Don't let that be your last option. Make it your first one. Start with prayer. And then nothing will fail. And even things like wisdom. Sometimes people simply don't know the right decision, the right thing to say, the right anything, choice, the right attitude. Should I? Shouldn't I? I don't know. Then pray. In James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all men liberally and without reproach. God doesn't get mad at you or think you're stupid because you don't know. If you ask Him, He'll simply give it to you. And so you ask Him. Don't ever try to figure things out on your own. That's always a hopeless endeavor. Don't ever try to figure things out on your own. Even if you don't know what's right, in Proverbs 3:6, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Because then you have a promise that He'll direct your path. But what you didn't do is you did not forget to pray. You did not neglect prayer. Prayer is the number one tool, the number one asset you have. Not just in your relationship with God, although that too, but for practical details in your life, for meeting your needs, finding your desires, all of it. Prayer is the number one thing you have. So what we need to do as people is learn how to live by prayer. Because that's where we find our answers. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me, so I can have eternal life with You. Amen.